Colin Powell, one of the leading figures of American military and foreign policy for nearly two decades, has died at the age of 84. His family confirmed the news in the past hour, saying Powell died from COVID-19 complications. He was the first African-American to serve as both Secretary of State and as the country's top general. Reaction from our White House correspondent and expert guests is coming up. First, Leah Harding looks back on Colin Powell's life and career.
Colin Powell spent his career breaking barriers. The son of Jamaican immigrants, Powell spent 35 years in the U.S. Army, leading combat forces in Vietnam and eventually becoming a four-star general. Powell was Ronald Reagan's national security advisor in the 1980s.
Colin,
in 1989, George H.W. Bush made him the Pentagon's top military officer, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I will do whatever the President of the United States directs us to do.
And what the Bush administration wanted, the invasion of Iraq in January 1991, in response to its invasion of Kuwait several months before. And with unrelenting, overwhelming use of military force, the Powell Doctrine was born.
You have to have a clear understanding of why they're being committed, for what purpose, and it can't just be we're seeing all this terrible stuff.
The Gulf War turned Powell into a hero. Many wanted him to run for president, but Powell refused. Instead, he broke the color barrier once more, the first African American to serve as Secretary of State during George W. Bush's presidency. It was a tenure during which Powell did the one thing that ultimately damaged his reputation, arguing for the invasion of Iraq in 2003 before the UN Security Council.
Iraq's and Iraq's behavior show that Saddam Hussein and his regime are concealing their efforts to produce more weapons of mass destruction.
The evidence of Powell's case turned out to be false. Powell accepted responsibility for helping to lead the country into what he later called an unjustified war.
Deeply regret that the information, some of the information, not all of it, some of the information I presented, which was multi-source, was wrong. And it is a blot on my record. But, you know, there's nothing I can do to change that blot.
Over time, Powell's regret turned into disillusion with the Republican Party. He endorsed Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama in 2008.
Because of his ability to inspire, because of the inclusive nature of his campaign, because he is reaching out all across America.
He gave similar reasons for backing Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump in 2016 and did the same for Joe Biden in 2020.
With Joe Biden in the White House, you will never doubt that he will stand with our friends and stand up to our adversaries, never the other way around.
After the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, by then-President Trump's supporters, Powell announced he was quitting the Republican Party, and he called on Trump to resign. Not surprising for a man who had always believed in duty to country before politics and had devoted his career to just that.
So our first guest to talk about the life of Colin Powell, joining us from Colchester, is Natasha Linstad, who is a U.S. foreign policy specialist, deputy dean at the University of Essex. Thank you for your time, Natasha. I feel with someone like Colin Powell, the easiest or best way to deal with his life is to go chronologically, because what happened in 2003, his decision over the war in Iraq, can overshadow everything. But there is a lot more to this man, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I mean, besides the fact that he was the first African-American Secretary of State, he also was a longtime general and had the highest military position in the Department of Defense. And he oversaw over 28 crises, including the invasion of Panama and then, of course, Operation Desert Storm, the first Gulf War in Iraq. And he was one of the most admired political and military figures in the U.S. His approval rating was at 88%, and that really didn't waver much. Of course, he was affected by his support for the second Iraq war. But overall, he was one of these figures that all Americans liked, whether they were Democrats or Republicans. And he had a very low disapproval rating of only 6%. So this was one person that everybody could agree upon, and that's why there was so much fervor over this idea that he should run for president. And he would have won because he just was so popular. He was perceived to be trustworthy and someone that all Americans could relate to.
Okay, that's what I was just about to ask. Why was this man so popular? But I feel you've gone into that now. Was there always going to be a transition from the military to politics for someone like him who had that much influence and as you say, high approval?
Well, he was always just one of these generals that politicians felt that they could trust. And he was able to communicate very well. And for this reason, the politicians, you know, wanted to work with him. And so we saw that he was the one person chosen by the Bush administration to speak in front of the UN because he was a person that just had credibility. Mm. There wasn't really any blemishes on his record. And because he was so likable from either party, the Republicans or the Democrats, he was going to be this type of person that would transcend the military and then pursue a career as Secretary of State in diplomacy.
2003, I think we need to start bringing that into the conversation, this decision to, well, you remember the famous speech he gave before the United Nations talking about WMD in Iraq unequivocally and then later retracting it, essentially. How much of a stain, if I can put it that way, does that leave on his diplomatic career, at least?
Well, it was definitely a stain, and he himself admitted that this was, quote unquote, a blot on his record. He was someone that didn't want to involve the U.S. in unnecessary military action. That was part of the Powell Doctrine, and that any kind of military action necessitated public support and needed to ensure that it was in U.S. national interest. So at the time, he was trying to advise Bush not to go into Iraq. He says, we know how to go into Baghdad, but you're going to need to have some kind of plan for nation building and state building afterwards, and that we're not really prepared for that. So he had warned Bush many times about this, but his warnings went unheeded. And as a result, he was set up to then defend U.S. What the U.S. was going to do in Iraq in front of the U.N. And by doing so, he really made the situation quite worse because he was reading a speech where he mentioned Zarqawi 21 times in this speech. This was someone who wasn't that well known and then suddenly became much more well known, eventually leading to al-Qaeda in Iraq. So the speech did a lot of harm. And also, of course, the invasion of Iraq did a lot of harm. And there was much feeling that Powell, who was someone we trusted so much, had betrayed many people because all the information he had given, or at least some of it, turned out to not be true.
Natasha, stay there for me, if you would, and keep listening as well, because I've got another guest I want to bring in and get some thoughts. This is Lawrence Korb joining us, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, who worked with Colin Powell, also senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, on Skype from Washington, D.C. Thank you for your time, Mr. Korb, and condolences as well. I'm sure you could hear what Natasha and I were discussing there. She was raising the point that in some ways maybe Colin Powell was almost set up and became a fall guy, the public fall guy for the invasion of Iraq.
Well, Vice President Cheney said, you're the only one who has the credibility to make the case, given, you know, some of the other statements that the and backgrounds of the other people in the administration. And I spoke to him after he did it, when I was no longer in government, nor was he, and he said it was a big mistake. But what he was really trying to do was be a good soldier. You know, if you're a soldier and you get an order, as long as it's not illegal and you don't agree with it, you still have to carry it out. And I think what he was trying to do, he knew they were going to go. He knew that you couldn't make a definitive case, but there was a reasonable chance that some of this intelligence might be right. And don't forget the statement that they wanted him to give. He didn't give. I mean, he cut it down. He and his colleague, Rich Armitage, who I also work with, basically, you know, took out a lot of the stuff that was in there originally. So I think he was trying to compromise and do the best he could. And unfortunately, it has permanently tarnished his reputation as a statesman, but not as a soldier.
Okay. Has it? I wanted a question. Did it permanently tarnish? Is that the only thing when it comes to his diplomatic career that people think of? Because I'm sure he did a lot more than that. And he did, belatedly, he made his retraction as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, I mean, a lot of people did not know that he was a hero in Vietnam, for example. People forget that, you know, what he did there. The fact that after Iran-Contra, he came into the Reagan administration back from his Army career and got things back on track. I mean, people forget how dangerous that was. Reagan could have been impeached if it wasn't so near the end of his term with the whole Iran-Contra thing. And, you know, he had worked in the Pentagon, went out into the field as a commander, and came back and took over the National Security Council. And that has not received the attention that it should, you know, what he did there.
Our previous guest was saying how popular Colin Powell was. Maybe you can give us a bit of personal insight into why that is. What was it about him which made people like him, which gave him those high approval ratings as an Army general and then into his early diplomatic career as well?
Well, first of all, he had a wonderful sense of humor. He was always smiling and laughing, and he would see the humorous side even under some, you know, very serious type of things. He was very smart, and he could take complex issues and put them in language that normal people, you know, could understand. He was also a role model because basically he was an African-American that was serving in the military in the southern part of the United States before, you know, the segregation had ended. And it was very, very difficult for him to be there, you know, and he handled that, you know, so well. And then, of course, Vietnam, which was an unwinnable, you know, war, he was able to do that and, you know, get his soldiers through it. So I think you're right. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. They only, you know, he came on board as Secretary of State. And since the whole Iraq war was such a mess, he got tarnished by it.
Lawrence, stay there for me, if you would, and also Natasha, who's there. I'm going to come back to both of you, but I do want to check in with our White House correspondent, Kimberly Halkett, now on the North Lawn there. Kimberly, maybe take us through the actual news of today. How did this news break, and what has the family said?
Well, the family broke this news over social media, noting that not only had they lost a beloved family member, but also that the United States had lost a great American. So now we're watching very carefully for some of the reaction that has come out. And the first to come out in a statement is from the former president, George W. Bush. Of course, he served, Colin Powell served in the Bush administration, in fact, both Bush administrations. He says, Laura and I are deeply saddened by the death of Colin Powell. He was a great public servant, starting his time as a soldier during Vietnam. Many presidents relied on General Powell's counsel and experience. He was National Security Advisor under President Reagan, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under my father and President Clinton, and Secretary of State during my administration. He was such a favorite of presidents that he earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom twice, and he was highly respected at home and abroad. That is certainly true. And most important, he was a family man and a friend. Laura and I send our sincere condolences as they remember the life of a great man. And I think that is what is most notable about Colin Powell, is the fact that he was a friend of both Democrats and Republicans, something that you certainly don't see of a man of his stature anymore in the United States.
Kimberly, you've worked as a reporter in Washington for many years. How was he regarded by the media there? As you point out, that he sort of had that balance that I won't quite say foot in both camps, but he was,
Yes, that's right. He certainly was. He was a Republican, but he was also loved by Democrats. And it is notable that some of his policies would not be welcomed by Democrats today. For example, he was not a fan of gays in the military and actively spoke out against this, saying that this would threaten U.S. national security and military readiness. Of course, later on, a generation later, that is no longer the view and that policy has changed. But certainly it is notable that even as he had strong opinions and differences with some of his political opponents, for example, it's well known that he didn't always get along with Bill Clinton, a Democratic president. What is notable is the fact that overall he is remembered as a man that could work with both political parties. Certainly he was revered by the media. You asked about that. And certainly from most Americans, even if they felt that he may have made some mistakes throughout his career overall, they revere him as a man who was certainly a very great public servant and a great American.
Kimberly Halkett is our White House correspondent. Thank you for now. With us still, Natasha Linstead and Lawrence Korb to talk through more of the life of Colin Powell. Thank you for staying with us and for listening to our other comments. Natasha, let me come back to you. Kimberly made the point about his, I can't call it bipartisanship, but he was a Republican who Democrats could deal with. And later on, as we heard in our report, he openly supported the likes of Joe Biden. Those type of people don't really exist anymore, do they?
Right. Well, I think the good thing about Colin Powell was he always, or at least from Americans' perspective, was telling the truth or what he believed to be the truth. And there's this perception that politicians don't tell the truth. They say whatever's, you know, is going to benefit them in that moment. And Colin Powell was someone who was really admirable for being a straight shooter and for clearly communicating things and for just looking at the facts and to not get caught up in, you know, messy conflicts about politics. And I think one of the a testament to this is that he actually apologized about the Iraq conflict. We didn't hear an apology from Bush or from Rumsfeld or from Dick Cheney, but he was able to reflect upon it and say that this was a mistake. And I think that is something that's admirable about him that we don't really have from politicians today.
Lawrence Korb in Washington, D.C. Why didn't he run for president? It seems like he could have done that possibly on multiple occasions and might have been pretty close to it.
Actually, he was thinking of running in 1996, and his wife, Alma, talked him out of it. She was afraid for his life, that as the first African-American, you know, to get the nomination, he some people might come after him. And I remember, you know, reading about that in his book and talking to him about it. I think he would have been a great president. I think he would have won if he had run in 96 or 2000. But that's my understanding. And that says a lot about this country that, you know, a man or a person of such great stature, intellect and bravery is, it doesn't want to run because of what happens to be his skin color.
Lawrence Korb, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, and Natasha Linstead, U.S. Foreign Policy Specialist. Thank you both for your time and your thoughts today on the life of Colin Powell.